Around to the music stop. If you have your Bibles today, open them, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at the second part of the message that I started last week about what does it mean to trust in the Lord. But when you find your place in Proverbs chapter 3, I would ask if you go ahead in your Bible and find the book of Malachi, because we're going to go back and forth between Proverbs and Malachi quite a bit. It is so easy for us to gather in God's house as God's people and say, we trust the Lord. But when you start looking at what the Bible says, the ways that we trust the Lord, the way that we should live it out, it's amazing how quickly we run into difficulties. So if you can, if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand at the honor of the reading of God's Word, and I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 18. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. But her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we turn our attention to the spoken word, God, I pray that you would use this word to draw us closer to you. And Lord, I know that in a service like this, Lord, there are people with all different needs, with all different things that they need from this word. But God, I pray that through your grace, through your mercy, through your wisdom, and through your spirit, Lord, you would give us what we need today to be able to live the lives that you need us to live so that we can do the things that you want us to do. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week I preached about Proverbs chapter 3 and started with verse 5. And it just simply says to trust in the Lord. I like that phrase because it just simply says, listen, you got to make the decision before you get in the situation, before you are faced with the obstacle, you got to make the decision about what you're going to do. And what he says is to just trust in the Lord. Now, I would like to say to you, if you don't make the decision in advance that no matter what happens in your life, you're going to trust the Lord, you won't trust the Lord. If you used to say, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to see what happens to me and I'm going to see how things go, and if things go the way I think they should, I'm going to trust the Lord. You can mark it down. You're going to have the worst day of your life. So you just got to make the decision, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust the Lord. And he said, trust with all your heart. And I talked pretty extensively last week, but all means all. And that means when things don't go the way that we want them to, the things that we don't want to happen are happening to us, we still got to make the decision. And then, of course, he says, and lean not on your own understanding. And that is so much easier said than done. But I can't trust the Lord and try to figure out my life. I've got to make the decision. Either he's God and I'm not, or either I am and he's not. But one way or another, somebody's got to be in charge. And in verse 6, he said, in all your ways, and that's everything we do. That's everywhere we go. That's the way we live our life. That's all the decisions that we make. It says, acknowledge him. And if we'll do that, he shall direct our paths. Now, when we look at these verses, I would imagine that each one of us individually filters what that means into our life based on what's happened to it. And what we have to come to is that when the Bible tells us things, we have to accept what the Bible says, and then we have to apply it to our life. And when we do that, we'll find out if it's true. And so what I want to actually preach on today, they're all listed here in Proverbs chapter 3, but there's six ways There's six things that we have to be able to make a decision about whether we're going to trust the Lord. And the first one is in verse 7. Whew, that's all I can say before I even read this verse. But he said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Huh. Do you know how difficult when we have been raised a certain way, we see things a certain way, we believe certain things. Do you know how difficult it is not to look up to heaven and say, God, I've got this. I know what needs to happen right here. Don't worry, Lord, you can just leave this to me because I know what needs to happen because I'm smarter than everybody else in the whole wide world. Right? When he says, don't be wise in your own eyes, oh my goodness, that is a reference to when you think you've got it figured out. That's a reference to sometimes when we're wise in our own eyes is when we think that we found a loophole. You know, some way we're going to get by. We're going to get around it. And if you've ever said, I know what the Bible says, but that would be a prime example of that. And when we think that we're smarter than God, you know, everybody else in the whole wide world has done this and it's ended in absolute disaster. But today is going to be different because it's me. Because I'm smarter than everybody else. And I've got this figured out. And I won't retell the story, but when I was preparing this and I was thinking about the time that I was wise in my own eyes, that I probably most regret in my life is when I was 12 years old and the Lord called me to ministry. And I said, I ain't doing that. And then I proceeded to tell the Lord what I was going to do instead. Well, here I stand. So for those of you who don't know me, you can just look at where I stand and know how that worked out. But every person will have that time in their life when they ought to make a decision as to who's in charge. Is it going to be the Lord, or am I going to face the situation, face the circumstance, and say, well, hey, I've got this figured out, and I know what I can and can't do. And the reason that I like that verse, because it follows these others, but the reason I like it so well, do you know how many times we will say, I trust the Lord with all my heart and I don't lean on my own understanding, and then turn right around and say, but. And I think that's what makes that verse where it's located so important. Look at the second thing. The second thing just simply says, fear the Lord. Do you know until we make the decision that we are going to fear the Lord, then we'll never be able to trust fully in Him. If you have your finger, if you have your Bible in Malachi, open to Malachi chapter 1. We're going to go back and forth between Proverbs and Malachi. I always like Malachi because you know when you're about to be quiet, you have to say something that's very profound. And the Lord knew that it was about to be 400 years. In Bible times, there was 400 years between the book of Malachi and what we consider to be Matthew, the New Testament. And so in that 400 years, if you know you're about to be quiet for 400 years, you want to say some very profound things. And Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 is one of those very profound things. He's talking about honor. He's talking about respect. And he says, a son honors his father, a servant his master. And he said, if I then am the father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? And he goes on and he says this to the Lord, says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name, yet you say in what way? And what's amazing there is God just asked a very simple question. Hey, if I believe that He's God, then I have to honor Him with my life. I have to give Him the respect that He's due. And I want to make sure that you hear me say, to fear the Lord is not to be afraid of the Lord. God's not in heaven going, that's the 238th time you did that. If you do that one more, that's not what it means to fear the Lord. But what it means to fear the Lord is to know that He loves you and that God only wants what's best for us in eternity. The problem is, what's best for me in eternity is not what's always best for me today. But I have to fear the Lord and say, all right, Lord, if you want me to do this, if this is the path that you have for me, then I'll do it. But when we actually can honestly say, that we live in fear of the Lord, we have to realize that that means that in any situation and in any circumstance, we're going to do what the Lord would have us to do, not what we always would want to do. I'll give you some examples. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. That means that husbands, Christian husbands, are to have a grace-based relationship with their Christian wives. But so many times we don't do that. What we have is we have a works-based relationship, which is the exact opposite of what God wants us to have. And the reason I say that is because it sounds like this. He says to her, I will be nice to you if you are nice to me. I will be good to you if you are good to me. And that is the exact opposite of what it means to have a Christian relationship. Because that relationship is supposed to be grace-based. But we will sit in here on a rainy Sunday morning Memorial Day weekend, we're giving ourselves a gold star for coming, but we never think about what it means to fear the Lord. And we have to realize that when I fear the Lord, when I go to my job on Tuesday, because I fear the Lord, I'm going to be the best worker there. Right? That's what it means to fear the Lord. You're not doing it for your boss. You're doing it because you know that you are a Christian. And when you find yourself in a situation and in a circumstance, and your first thought is, I know what the Bible says, but that's when you get to decide, do you fear the Lord? Because when you come to the realization that this is what I signed up for, this is what I said I would do, and you say, well, then I got to do it. Because he's God and I'm not. And when you realize that, it brings you right to number three. Number three is simply this. Depart from evil. Do you know how difficult that can be at times? Am I the only one? Some people deserve it. Can we not just be honest? Right? But you know what the Bible says. The Bible says, depart from evil. And when things in our life get crazy and things get messed up and people get to acting crazy, you know what we have to say? Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm going to do it because you said it. And folks, when it comes to departing from evil, what we have to remember and what we have to acknowledge is the world has crept into the church. And what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, what does the Word of the living God say? And when we know what the Word of the living God says, then we have to make the decision that we're going to do what the Bible says, because it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And listen, I'm going to go back to husbands. Listen, if you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, you are right smack dab in the middle of evil. Come on. Right? If I don't go to my work, give it all I got, guess what? Right? And then somebody will read, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and I'll jump up and holler the loudest. That's my favorite verse in Proverbs. And not ever one time connect saying that's my favorite verse in Proverbs and how I live my life. Right? Got to be that. Trust. Got to be that. In verse 8, he just gives us a promise here, and this promise is so true, and I know there are people all over the room that know this, but he said it'll be health to your flesh and it'll be strength to your bones. And if you want to go to a lot of trouble and study that in the original language, you know what he said? He said this is a promise that you can't describe to someone who doesn't have it. But if you know what he's talking about, you know it's true. And you know that this is the way you want to live your life. Because it is health to your flesh, and it is strength to your bones. You look at the fourth thing, and it's in Proverbs chapter 9. And then he goes to just meddling. Can we just say it like that? I mean, he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Like, ugh, right? And you have to keep in mind, he didn't just say honor the Lord with your finances. He said, honor the Lord with your possessions. And that includes your family. That includes your wife, your children, your time, your hobbies, your friends, the things that you love. It includes your money. It includes everything about your life, my life, our life, everything that we have. If it is a part of our lives, it should honor the Lord. And if we have something in our life that is off limits to God, you know that thing where we know what the Bible says and then follow it up with but? When we have that but, then we can rest assured that part of our life that's off limits to God is not honoring to Him. That part of our life that we say it's okay because everybody does it. That part of our life that we say, well, nobody's perfect. That's the part He's talking about. And he's telling us that if we're going to trust the Lord with all of our heart, then we have got to make sure that everything about our life is honoring to Him. And then number five is, he says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what's amazing here is he's saying that everything that comes into our life should be honoring to God. Everything. And he uses a word that's very interesting to me. Some of you don't know this, but I like to garden. And he says, with the first fruits. And I was over there in my little garden yesterday, and I was digging around in my string beans and pulled the leaves back, and there they are. They're about that long, looked like a toothpick. But it didn't look like a toothpick to me. It looked like lunch next Sunday. That's what it looked like to me. And do you know what? Do you know what would be the best string beans of the whole year? Next Sunday. Right? You eat them next Sunday, they will be so good. But if you eat them on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and it'll be sunnies the next Sunday. Right? And he's saying the first fruit. With the absolute best thing that come into our life, we need to honor God. Now, all of us will have to answer for ourselves. I certainly don't know the answer to anybody's life. But, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that say, God, you can bless me, but let's don't get mixed up about whose it is. Right? God, you can come and you can do all this stuff for me and hip, hip, hooray, and that's good, but let's don't get confused about whose stuff this is. Come on now, right? And when we say that, we're just automatically saying, I'm not trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And in verse 10, obviously, he's talking about, the context is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he's talking about trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And so he's really talking about here when he says your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He's talking about, obviously, inside our hearts, but we also know that he's talking about with the things that we have. So he's talking about in both ways. He's talking about with all of the increase of our life, and then he's talking about how we are doing on the inside. And one of the things that I always encourage people to do, I've never actually done this because I don't think this is something that I need to do. But when we talk about giving, people always will just immediately, they will draw their conclusions. And before you say any, have any final decision in your heart about giving, I would encourage you to find the website on the internet that you put in how much money you make and it ranks you in the world's population. Like, where do you rank? And I will guarantee you everybody in this room is probably ahead of at least 5 or 6 billion people. You understand? That means that you make more money than they do. Just by the fact that we live in America, I know we don't always like process it this way because we live in America, but just because of the fact we live in America, we are the richest people in the world. by far. By far. And so when we talk about being blessed and we talk about increase, we are the most blessed financially and increased people that have ever lived in the history of the world. And so when we look at what the Bible says, we have to make sure that we honor God with all that we have. I know that in our lives, we all have to make a decision about the way that we give. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." I got this off a video when our son, who's now 30, was just a baby. But there was a song, and it was about giving to the Lord. And this person would say, "Don't give till it hurts. Give till it tickles. Give till it makes you laugh." Just like write out a check and go, "No, I'm still frowning." Write out a bigger one. No. And then write out one that makes you go, "Pooh." Then give that to God. Right? Don't give it to me. Don't give it to Grace Baptist Church. Give till it makes you go, "Whew." Right? Because that's what God loves. But look at the next verse back in Malachi chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 because I offer to you that there are some in the world that want to just give God their leftovers. And this is what God said through the prophet Malachi in verse 7. He said, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what ways have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil?" And then he just says, "Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? And would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" And what we have to realize is God does not deserve, desire, or want Jeff Walker's leftovers. Right? I like leftovers, but only for a day. And we have to acknowledge that God is not wanting, is not interested in whatever I might have left over and give to him. What happens when we don't honor God? Turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse 2. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said, "If you will not hear it, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. And yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart." And there are so many things in our life that start out as a blessing but wind up as a curse, and we never figure out. It's because we did not honor God. We did not do what God said. We did not trust in the Lord, and it started out good, but it didn't end up good. Started out as a blessing and ended up as a curse. And I want to say this, and I want to say this very softly, and I want to say this very gently, and I want to say it very kindly. But I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. And I will acknowledge that it takes two people to be married. One person cannot have a godly Christian relationship. But I have seen in the years that I've been in the ministry, they will drag us up to the church on a Saturday afternoon, and we'll move the chairs, and we'll decorate, and we'll go to a lot of trouble, and they will make these vows, and they will tell everybody in the room, "This one is going to be different." You know what I'm saying? This one's going to be different. This is not going to be like all the rest of them. This one is going to be different. And so they'll make their vows, and they'll tell everybody why it's going to be different. But I offer to you, they also ought to be required to video the divorce proceedings. I think if I was a judge, this is why I'll never be the judge. We're going to video that thing. And we're going to talk about how in the world play this video when here we all are, and everything's good, and everything's about God, and this one's going to be different. How are we right back up here with this same thing? But now, instead of a preacher, it's a judge. And now everybody's got a lawyer, and everybody's this, and everybody's that, and everybody's it. And what we have to realize is, if we don't honor God, that's what's going to happen. And it takes two. One person can't do it and make it work. It takes two. But what I'm saying is, hey, let's don't read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and go on and on about how we trust in the Lord and not live that all the way out. And when we make a vow, we have to keep it because we made it to the Lord. Well, go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. There's some people that try to rob God. And I think probably if we're honest, we've all found ourselves here. But he said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that you will, there will not be room enough to receive it. When we talk about giving to the Lord, I know that there are people in this room right now that say, I cannot do that. But there are also people in this room that say, I cannot live without doing that. I can't make it without doing that. And I'll just say this about giving, and then we'll go to number six. The thing that we have to remember about giving to the Lord, if your honest to goodness thought is, I cannot trust the Lord with 10% of my income, the only thing I would say to you is, it is impossible for you to convince me that you believe you can trust Him in eternity. Right? I mean, you can't trust Him with a dime out of every dollar, but you're telling me you can trust Him in eternity. And the only reason I say this with such conviction, I remember when I was but a youngster, just a kid, and I started mowing yards. And I remember I made the decision when I was just a kid that I was going to tithe. Whatever God gave me, I was going to give. And what I'm telling you is, I don't want you to give money to Grace Baptist Church. I don't want you to feel like you need to put money in that offering plate so that my salary can be paid. I want you to give so you will be blessed. Amen. That's why I want you to give. And my testimony is that Jesus is the one who blesses. And He doesn't mean if you put a dime in the offering plate, you can do online banking and it's going to become a dollar in your checking account. That's not what it means. The blessings are far richer. The blessings are far more deeper. And you will be blessed by it. And I also would say it's a generational blessing. Well, let's look at the sixth one. The sixth one is just simply this. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. And what we have to realize is that when we name the name of Jesus, when we say, I am a Christian and I'm going to live according to God's word, we have to realize God's not going to let us live and act however we want to live and act however we want to act. And just like as a father, when I could, when my kids, when I had some say and sway in their life, I was going to correct them. Lovingly. And would God, could we honestly say that we believe that God loves us if God didn't correct us? Could we honestly say that we believe that God loved us but then let us just live and act and do however we wanted to do? In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as son. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chastened. Well, the question is, why does God correct his children? God corrects his children because he loves us too much to let us act like that. I mean, how many parents have ever said to your kid, you're not going to act like that? Why? Because I love you too much. Not going to let you act like that. And then the other thing is, he wants his children to be blessed. And if I was going to take the book of Proverbs up, go ahead and turn in your Bible back to Deuteronomy. We're going back to the front. And I'm going to read these the last little few verses, and then we're going to close it out. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, these are some of the verses that I find most helpful in my life, because it gives each one of us the opportunity to decide what we want. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you'll be in the country." And you know what God wants to pour out in our lives? You know what God wants to pour out in our lives? Blessings. That's what he wants to pour out in our life. But I want to read verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and statutes which I've commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And cursed so you shall be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the country." So what is going to overtake us if we don't carefully obey his commandments? Curses. And so the question then, what we have to ask ourselves is, do I want to be blessed or do I want to be cursed? And when we know the answer to those things, then we have to ask ourselves a very simple question. What do I have to do to be blessed? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so the question then is it really that simple? And the answer is yes. It really is. But we have to make the decision about what kind of life we want to live, what kind of legacy we want to have, and when we make that decision, then we have to make choices accordingly. But there's one thing that we all have to acknowledge. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before you today, God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love. And God, I thank you for the simple truth of this word. Lord, it's so easy to make things complicated and make them beyond what a person can understand. But God, this word is just as simple and as straightforward as it can possibly be. And I have to admit, those are my favorite passages in the Bible. And so God, thank you that, Lord, you have set before us, Lord, what we need to do. And God, I pray that each one of us will respond accordingly, because it is so easy to do what's right in our own eyes. It is so easy to just say what we see, but we're not you, and we don't understand eternity. And so, God, I pray that for wherever we are, each one of us individually, God, whatever difficulty we're facing, whatever circumstances in our life, whatever we're trying to discern, God, I pray that we would take these things that you've given us today and apply them to our heart. So God, we love you and just thank you for all your many blessings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.